Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be real, real happy because I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed to be in it. For God has given us a new day. He's given us a do-over. He's given us the joy that we need, which is the joy of the Lord that's in our heart. Thanking God this morning for his great word as he guides us, as he shows us that everything the Lord needs us to do, he will equip us to do it. He will equip us to do it. And the greatness of God is immeasurable, because there is none, nothing and no one like our God, who created everything, everything, the moon, the stars, the suns, and every universe and galaxy that we will ever find, or that will ever find us. God created them all. And all we can say is hallelujah, how great is our God. How great is our God. Thank you, Father, for this day that you have made, Lord. We rejoice in it, asking you, Father God, to increase as we decrease, asking you, Father God, to hide us in the ark of safety, hide us under your wings of love, Lord God. This morning, as we get ready to go forward, I lift up my pastor, oh God, asking you to continually give her strength, oh God, as she gets ready to celebrate the homecoming of Pastor Paul, her husband, her soulmate, her friend, co-pastor, was with her when they created this church that they both love so much, that they both, he loved us and she loves us. And they both were always there for every member who needed them. Even if he needed to come and just give you a laugh and call you his favorite, it made you feel special to know that he was taking care of everything. Lord God, I thank you for the time that I've known Pastor Paul. And I thank you, Lord God, for calling me to come back into the ark of safety, in a church that he took care of. Day that I joined Table of Life Ministries changed my life. And it was the day that he was ordained on January 1st, 2012. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, that I have that connection with a great man of God who was a great supporter of this blog. He listened in, and he would tell me sometimes, great show, when we had a chance to talk, because he was always so busy driving the van, picking up the children, making sure that the music and the sound was perfect in the church. We ask God today to cover his family as they travel the highways and byways coming to his homegoing, because it will be a celebration of a life, a full life, a life full with loving you. So, Father, please cover my church family. Cover my pastor. Cover all the members who are in grief and bereavement. Cover his mother, Mother Hallie, the first mother of the church, We ask you to lift her up and give her strength, oh God. Strengthen her mind, strengthen her body. And Lord God, you've given us 91 years of this wonderful woman, and we ask you for some more, God. For she is a strong tower, and she gives the best hugs. So, Father God, as I lift up this word today, I lift up all those that are in bereavement all over this world, Lord God. For we all know, Lord God, that we are in a time of transition. Many will choose you, and many will fall. We ask you, Lord God, for more to choose you and less to fall. Lord God, we ask your healing power over this horrible disease called COVID, over this awful plague that you have sent to get our attention, Lord God. Well, Lord, you have our attention. And we ask you, what must we do to be saved, God? What must we do to preach the gospel that others will be saved? For Lord God, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for my Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for prayer, for righteous prayer avail much, Lord God. But we all walk in wisdom, knowing that is your will, not ours, that will always be done. So, Lord God, as I lift this word up this morning, I ask you, Father God, to increase as I decrease. And, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thanking God this morning and asking God continue watching over each and every one of you. And I may lose listeners for what I'm about to say, but I say this with a whole heart. Don't be afraid to be vaccinated. Don't walk in fear, because fear is of the enemy. We have faith that God did not create, that God did not create this virus, not to get our attention. And it is faith in God. If you choose not to, and it's your time, you're going to go. And if you choose to, then maybe God's giving you another chance. I was at the doctor's office on yesterday, and my doctor told me that 95% of the deaths are from unvaccinated citizens. 95. The other 5 are getting grace, because if they're transitioning because of COVID, that 5% has been given grace because it's their time. 95% of non-vaccinated are dying. 95% are dying. And think this through. 95% of the vaccinated are living. Because only 5% are dying. The opposite is true of the unvaccinated. Whether you believe, whether you don't, all I know is that I've seen God work. I've seen God work. And I have seen so much hatred and divisiveness in this nation, because people don't want to be vaccinated. People don't want to wear masks. People don't want this. People don't want that. And a lot of them are evangelical Christians. I'm a Christian. I'm proud to say I love Jesus and he loves me. I'm proud to say that I've been saved by his blood and by his grace. I am proud to say that I got vaccinated and I did it and I prayed about it and I fasted and prayed about it. Because I was a skeptic too. Said that it was okay. I went. And it just happened that the days that I got my shots were days that I was going to be in church. I got the first one on a Sunday. Prayed as I, before I went, prayed as it was going on, prayed after the fact, and went to church. My second one was on a church night. I prayed before I went. I prayed through it, and I prayed after, and I went to church. And when I got my booster, I prayed before, I prayed during, I prayed after, and I went to church. Hallelujah. And I have had no problems, actually. Had the best time as far as my bronchitis and health was in 2020. Because everybody was in a mask and locked down. Health was great. I'm an essential worker. I go to work. I had to go to work. And I'm grateful that not one of my clients got COVID. Not one of my seniors, which were all vaccinated, have been sick. Many have passed. Two have passed, actually. But they passed from other conditions, mostly age. But I tell you, my father-in-law got COVID and has passed on because a caregiver decided that being vaccinated was not important, and she brought COVID into his facility. And many of the residents wound up hospitalized. And yes, he was vaccinated. But he had other conditions. And I say to you today, some will turn away. Some will not want to hear this. And some will say, well, my faith is this and my faith, I've had it and I've survived it and I'm good and all this. Then praise the Lord. But others may not have your faith and may not be as blessed. So don't talk and tell people not to be vaccinated. Because your faith and your time was not up. This, because God gave me the vision and he said this. He said, when you talk about this, think about the joke that was given by Dick Gregory, a faithful faster and advocate for so many people's rights. But he told a story about the boat and the helicopter and the man dying. The guy said, well, I sent you a boat and I sent you a helicopter. But what God said to me was, I did not create the vaccine to kill you. I created it to heal you. I will not tell anybody that you might not get sick, because you might. But the vaccine and prayer will save you. I've seen it work. So I just say to you today, please don't hate me for what I say and my belief. But I know what God can do. And I know that faith without works is dead. Let's get into a word this morning. And the word of God says in Exodus chapter 29, and this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministry to me as priest. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in that and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and the grid. Gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. You shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its oil you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take his blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them in its pieces, with its pieces and with its head, and you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him, and he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him. Also you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat on them. The right, it is a ram of consecration, one loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the bread of the ram of Aaron's consecration, the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration you shall consecrate the bread of the wave offering which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering which is raised, of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel, for Aaron and his sons, by a statute forever. For it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is their heave offering to the Lord.
and the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. The son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister to the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall eat those things which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them, because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or of the bread remain until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them, and you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. Now this is what you shall offer to lambs of the first year, day by day continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Exodus chapter 30. You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be on one piece with it, and you shall overlay its top, its sides, all around its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding of gold all around. 2 gold rings you shall make for it under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its 2 sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And I want to go back to verse number 9. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. This word, verse number 9, you will understand as we go through the word, because we're going to find out what happens if you put strange incense in the offering. It's not pretty. One of Aaron's sons will find this out. And as we go through the word, that verse is going to remind you. It's going to be a reminder that you don't play with God and you don't play with his word. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that they may be no, let's go back to this. Let's go back to this word too. And it says this one more time. And Aaron shall make atonement upon his horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. And then he tells Moses, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more than the poor, shall not give less than half a shekel. When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourself, and you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for themselves. And in other words, you got to pay your tithes. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze with this base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it when they go into the tabernacle meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourselves quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an anointment compounded according to the ark of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand, its utensils, and altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, tethic and anica and galbanum, and pour frankincense with these sweet spices. There shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the ark of the perfumer, the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting. where I will meet with you, it shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it, to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. The Lord has already said, I've given you, yeah, I got a recipe in my word, but nobody is to make this. Nobody is to make this. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. You know, you got folks like to go in and do what they see in the Bible. Some things you need to leave alone. Read the whole word, not just a part, but the whole thing. And let's go back and look at our life lessons for chapter 29 and 30. Of Exodus, and the first is Exodus 29:4. And the word of God says, Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle meeting, and you shall wash them with water. And Dr. Stanley, you know, in this life lesson, all the life lesson commentary pretty much is from Dr. Stanley. And it says this, we must be clean to come before the Holy One of Israel. Under the new covenant, we do this by making sure we have a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22. You might want to mark that in your word so you can read it later. And this is the word that I was talking about. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. When Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, transgressed this command, the Lord destroyed them. We'll read that in Leviticus chapter 10. God does not require us to understand his will, just obey it, even if it seems unreasonable. What a word. So we'll come back and visit these two sons of Aaron that put strange, that did put strange oil in God's offering, strange incense. And they died by fire, destroyed them. Don't play with God. Psalm 26:9. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy haven. I'm sorry. Let's go back and read that one more time. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And who's on the right hand of God? Jesus. Hallelujah. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand up. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Hallelujah. And Proverbs is a little longer today, because it's a great word, a word that we will have some life lessons from. And it says this in Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 23. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an imprisoned face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vow. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Let us take our fill of love unto morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Did you catch that? And I'm just going to take it where God is sending me. How many people have died from fooling around with married women and married men? Married men have taken HIV home to their wives, and wives have taken it home to their husbands, and they have died because they were stepping out. How many marriages have been ruined by infidelity? Just walking down the street, minding my own business, and she just called me in, and I just followed. And now you're dead and in hell, caught in sin. God is not playing. All through Proverbs, infidelity is spoken on us. All through the Word of God, infidelity is spoken of. We have to be so very careful to follow God's commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's there. It's bold. It's big. And we got to remember God's word. And as we go in to Psalms 20 and 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And as Dr. Stanley says, we could change this verse to say some trust in tanks and some in missiles. Come on now. But we will put our hope in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Armaments throughout history have changed, but God always remains the same. You can have all the artillery in the world, but it don't mean a doggone thing if you don't have the Lord on your side. Hallelujah. All the tanks in the world won't save a nation, won't save anyone if the Lord is not on their side. For our Father God and our Savior Jesus Christ are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We have to believe that. Proverbs 7 and 14, I have peace offerings with me today, my vow. People have long used religious language, come on now, to entice naive believers into sin. Y'all caught that right. Others confuse religious practices with genuine godliness, but we should never confuse sentiment with true spirituality. I done everything I said I was going to do. I went to church, and I paid my tithes. But, girl, honey, I'm going to the club with my friends tonight. Okie dokie. And whatever happens, happens. Okay. God is watching everything. Don't allow, because you sit in a pew on Sunday, to make you think that you're holy if you're not walking the walk and talking the talk. Hallelujah. This is from our word this morning, and the title of our lesson today is Your Lamp Full? Is Your Lamp Full? Let's read the word and see what we're talking about. And are you sitting on your talents? Did you bury them? But the question is your lamp full? And it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We must always have our lamp full and oil in there. Do not know when Jesus is coming. The oil of salvation must be full at all times. We must be ready, because we just read the other day, no man knows the day or the hour when he is coming. Nobody. Only the Father. Is your oil lamp full? Are you ready? Are your bags packed? Do you have on your helmet of salvation? Are you completely fit your armor? Do you have your armor on? Are you ready to go? Hallelujah. Is your lamp full? And as we continue in this word, we're going to come back to life lessons, actually life examples, after we finish the rest of this Matthew 25 word. Whew, hallelujah, and it's good. And it goes on to tell us, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them, and gave 5 talents to another 2 and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 talent and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled account with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and all 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited with that seed back my own. So take the talent from him. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But with him who does not have, get away and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Come on now. This is what the word of God says, and Dr. Stanley breaks this down. And it is a warning against slothfulness. Now let's go to our dictionary and look up the word slothfulness. 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 Sluggardly, indolent, lazy. Again, let's go there one more time. Sluggardly, indolent, and lazy. Let's go and look up the word slothful. Sluggardly, again, indolent, and lazy. A slothful person is lazy. And these are some synonyms for the word. Comatose, dallying, dull, idle, inactive, inattentive, indolent, inert, lackadaisical, laggard, fluid, lethargic, lifeless, listless, loafing, passive, procrastinating, slack, slow, sluggish, snoozy, supine, tired, unenergetic. Slothful. Someone who's slothful is lazy and unwilling to make an effort to work. He was not slothful. He had been busy all night. Some people are busy, but others are just lazy. And we got to get out of that lazy spirit because, again, is your lamp full? Because if you don't have your full oil when the bridegroom comes, you might miss out on your salvation because you was too lazy to bring your oil with you. Come on now. Not trying to dog anybody out because we all have been there. I have the procrastinating spirit, and I'm asking God, Lord, please remove it from me. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And this is what the word of God says from Dr. Stanley. In Matthew 25, Jesus called the lazy servant wicked and unprofitable. That was a very strong rebuke, and we must take heed that Jesus considers slothfulness evil. Yet what is God's description of a person who is slothful? What does a lazy person look like? The first word that describes slothfulness is rebellion. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 through 10. So if you want to look that up. Again, the first word that describes slothfulness is rebellion. And you can find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Though we do not serve God in order to earn our salvation, our service to God shows our thankfulness and obedience to him. It is the will of God that his children live a productive life out works that God is. Then we are rebelling against God. Slothfulness is a sin of rebellion. The second word that describes slothfulness is wastefulness. God gifts us in many ways, and he calls, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. God gifts us in many ways, and he calls us to our personal responsibility as good stewards of those spiritual gifts, to use them for his glory rather than serve our own interests. We help one another. Unfortunately, slothful people are very self-centered and waste their gifts on mundane things that have no real value for the kingdom of God. Come on now, Dr. Stanley, no, he is. And it goes on to say the third word that describes slothfulness is selfishness. It's chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. People who are lazy are not concerned with the needs of others. They only care about their own desires. They prefer to steal and take advantage of others in order to get what they want instead of working for it honestly. Yet to honor God, we must deal honorably with others. Woo, what a word. The fourth word that describes slothfulness is violation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. We are to honor God with everything we do, no matter what our job. We have a responsibility to do our work with diligence, integrity, creativity, and energy because we are representing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us serve conscientiously with the knowledge that we are pleasing God. And even if our employer does not reward us in the way we would like, God will. Hallelujah. Proverbs 26, 16 and 16 tells us that the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. This is the main problem with the slothful person. He thinks he has all the answers. He thinks he can handle everything, but he really cannot handle anything. Slothful people are always deceiving themselves about their own abilities and wisdom. In reality, slothful people are foolish and very short-sighted. Instead of preparing for the future, they only worry about today. They have no sense of direction, and they do not try to accomplish anything, not even for their own survival. They do not try to do the will of God because they believe that it takes too much energy to serve God. They are just doing whatever it takes to get them through life. Well, I went to church today. Well, what'd you do in church? Nothing. I sat in the pew. I listened to the word, and I went home. That's all I need to do, because you know the game is done. Uh-uh. That's our God. God wants us to come and work. Wherever you are needed, whatever you give it to God to be used by him. If you like to talk, talking to somebody who likes to talk. But I really don't, but I do like to talk for God. But most of the time I like just being by myself and quiet and spending time with God. I'm an extroverted introvert, if that's such a thing. But I tell you this, when God called me, I had no idea why I was getting a degree in communications. My goal was to be an accountant. And I'm like, I'm going to get my degree in accounting and get my CPA, and I'm going to be, that's what I'm going to do. But that was not what God wanted me to do. I didn't know why I was taking classes in theology. I was like, oh, well, it's a good credit. I was at it. You know, no biggie. Didn't know God was preparing me. Didn't have a clue why God was sending me to do all these different things and be a part of this or that and having to speak Toastmasters and all these things, not understanding that God was preparing me for my calling. Well, I love reading, and I love the Word of God. Ooh, I could be in the Word for hours and love it every minute because God's Word is so good. And you learn so much. And I say this, as Dr. Stanley has to say, therefore, avoid being slothful and serve the Lord with humility and enthusiasm. Then you will hear the master say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord, Matthew 25 and 23. And that is certainly better than the alternative. And we all know what the alternative is, to be left outside because you didn't have your lamp full. And that is a word for today. If there's anybody that has a word that they would like to speak, now is the time to push that number one on your phone. Whatever your gift is, use it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a word this morning. And I got a word from my sister in Christ this morning. And Sister Carolyn from Carolyn's Gift this morning says this, God hears every unspoken word, sees every unseen wound, and mends every unbearable pain. Have faith and be strong. God's got you. Have a worry-free Wednesday. We got to worry less and praise and don't set a glory. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. If your gift is prophecy, prophesy that someone's life may be changed. Hallelujah. If your gift is being a preacher, teacher, preach and teach. Hallelujah. If your gift is to evangelize, bring as many into the kingdom as God sends your way. Woo, hallelujah. God is going to use many of you. He is going to use all of you. Do is say, Lord, where do you need me to serve? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My hands are lifted high. Ooh, my heart is open and ready to receive a blessing from you, Father God. Father God, I lift up every listener this morning, asking you to show them their talent, asking you to help them get their lamp full, that they will be ready when you come, Jesus. We want to be brides, ready to walk through the door, hallelujah, for we know the gate is narrow and only a few will get in. Lord God, I pray for my lamp to be full. And I ask you, Father God, if I have a spirit of rebellion, and the rebellion that I do have, God, I don't want to have witchcraft in my heart. Teach me, guide me, lead me, and I will follow, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray again to each and every one of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over each and every one of you. Be safe, joyful. And give God glory and fill your lamps. Get your lamps full and get your oil in reserve. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, a moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because we believe in prayer. And we are willing, ready, available, and presently praying for you. And as I ask each of you out there, those that are listening, to please keep my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, in your prayers as she deals with bereavement and she prepares for the homegoing of a great man, our assistant pastor, the pastor that did all the administrative stuff, drove the van, took care of the sound system, made sure all the repairs were done. We're going to miss you, Pastor Paul. But we know that you are with God. And he is saying right now, well done, my good and faithful servant. Have a blessed day, family. Keep God first in everything that you do, knowing that he is always with and watching over each and every one of you. Be blessed. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. And this time it is a wrap. Have a blessed day. Why? Because we got to go to work. Don't hide your talents. Work the work God has called you to do. Be blessed and filled.